up-to-the-minute commodity prices and market analysis that makes sense. This is The Big Show.
11:23 is the time on the Big Show clock. Things starting to brighten up in central Iowa. Eastern Iowa still picking up some rainfall. Western Iowa drying out after some rain overnight. We'll talk more about that. In fact, we have some boots in the ground, eyeballs out in the field in Western Iowa coming up just a little bit here. Andy, right now we are talking with the folks, U.S. Meat Export Federation. I believe you have on the telephone line with you Dan Hallstrom. Dan is president and CEO, and these folks work around the clock, around the world, to make sure that we are selling U.S. meat into these markets.
And have been doing such a wonderful job at it with record or near record numbers for now years on end. Based out of Denver, Colorado is where we send the Big Show microphones today. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Now, are you in Denver today, Dan, or are you somewhere else? I know you do quite a bit of traveling.
No, I'm in Denver in the office today, so yeah.
Has some of your travel been limited then as a result of COVID-19?
Yeah, we have. I'd say the last 2 months we've been pretty much, in the state of Colorado, not much travel. And that's the case for most of our offices around the world as well. Although, I'll get into this in a minute, but we're starting to see Asia open up, different markets, food service returning, to normal in some cases. So, yeah, it's looking better in the Asian markets anyway.
Yeah, and we can talk about the timeline, because they started that a little bit before we did in this country, if I'm not mistaken. But you had some numbers out this week that show that beef is, still at record levels, and pork is a little bit off, but the numbers were impressive despite the global pandemic.
Yes, I think all things considered, it's a pretty solid month. The month of April for pork was up about 20%. Led by China and Japan, both had good months there. And on the beef side, we were down just slightly, down 6%, but a very good showing for Japan as well on beef. So I think it kind of speaks to the fact that Japan in particular, this Japan-U.S. ag agreement that was implemented on January 1 of this year, is really starting to bear some fruit, and we're on a level playing field now in terms of duties with our competitors, Australia on the beef side, Europe on the pork side. So it's really, it's really looking good, and I think you're going to see continued good growth out of Japan as we go forward.
So these numbers were for April, right? May probably was when this thing hit the hardest, at least worldwide. What do you expect there? We got a little while before we get to recovery yet?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I don't think we saw the full impact of some of the supply chain challenges that we saw. They started in April, but went into May. A lot of this product, especially the product going to China on the pork side, is frozen. So I think the month of May, we will see a downturn in the numbers, especially as it relates to pork, probably into China specifically. And the other area that worries me a bit is while Asia was ahead of the U.S. in terms of the impact with COVID, Mexico and Latin America, another big outlet for U.S. beef and pork, was behind the U.S. So I think you're going to see the numbers. The numbers were already down on beef to Mexico in April. I think we're going to see that continue throughout May for Mexico and Central South America as well. But that being said, I'm still very optimistic overall for the rest of 2020. May and maybe even June might be a bit of a struggle, but I think we're well positioned as the rest of the world beyond Asia starts to reopen. Mexico, Central South America, they will reopen. The question is, when will it be? July, will it be August? Somewhere through there you're going to see it coming back with some vigor, and I think that we have the supply, obviously high quality supply of beef and pork, so I think for the year, we're still very optimistic for continued growth.
Hey, Dan, this is Bob. Got about a minute left here, and we talk a lot about Asia. I understand that. We're talking about agreements with Japan as well and with China. Talk a little bit about, though, with North America. How are we doing with trading partners in Canada?
Yeah, Canada, well, I'll lump it together. The USMCA, Canada, and Mexico are right there. pork in our top three or four destinations for U.S. beef and pork, right behind Japan and China. And the beauty of it is that the product mix that goes over to Asia is quite a bit different from that product mix on both beef and pork that goes to Mexico and Canada. So in that, from the standpoint of maximizing the value of the carcass using different cuts, Canada and Mexico are extremely important because they complement what goes to Asia so well. And, you know, the NAFTA agreement from the 90s definitely needed to be updated, and the administration got that done, and we're looking for an implementation of the USMCA now this summer. And I think that just, we're at zero duty. And updated NAFTA 2.0, I call it, or USMCA, the common term now, is just another way of solidifying that duty-free relationship between the three countries. And in that regard, extremely, extremely important, Canada and Mexico, for U.S. beef and pork industries.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Dan, about Asia's reopening. But the music, of course, means that we're out of time, so we'll have to get together and do that again here real soon. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Anytime. Appreciate
you
the
bet.
Opportunity.
You bet, and thanks for all of your hard work on our behalf, making sure that there are markets for the products that we produce here in the state of Iowa and across the upper Midwest. Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO, U.S. Meat Export Federation, sharing the good news here with us today on The Big Show.